This past January at our diocesan convention, the delegates, priests, representatives from throughout the Diocese of North Carolina did something that I think is really exciting. Right next to our convention floor, in a great big ballroom, was set up a Stop Hunger Now workroom, workstation, and Bishop Curry set forth the ambitious goal for us to package 100,000 meals over the course of our two-day convention. Now, anyone here who has taken part in a Stop Hunger Now day realizes that that is a really big number, tough one to hit, that we do a lot of meals, but 100,000 is hard to do. So the plan was to have four packing sessions over the course of 2 days, and we were supposed to drop by and choose a session and get involved and get to it. Well, for that first session, I actually had some other things at convention that I wanted to be involved in. There's actually a lot of things that happen at these conventions. And I had wanted to go to a committee hearing, and I wanted to catch up with some colleagues that I hadn't seen in a little while. So I wasn't planning on getting involved then. I was going to work at one of the later sessions. But I did want to stop by, because I knew a lot of people who had gotten involved in it. But as soon as I walked in the door, I was struck by this incredible energy. And anyone who's done Stop Hunger Now knows what I'm talking about, that so many people are involved at once in filling bags of food and sending it down the assembly line and taking it to pack it and send it. We've done it a number of times at St. Paul's. We're going to do it again on September 24th. But as soon as I walked in the room, I was struck by this really great energy. And a piece of me felt really drawn to get into the mix and get involved. But I didn't want to, not yet, because I had another piece of me that kind of pulled me out of the doors that reminded me I have these other little things that I wanted to do. Well, the net result is that I was pretty much stuck and useless in the door, because I kind of felt drawn one way, but I kind of felt drawn another way, and I just got stuck. Well, fortunately, I was saved from my stuckness when Beth Crow, the diocesan youth missioner who had a lot to do with getting this together, simply came up to me and grabbed me and said, "BJ, I need you over there, go, 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 go." And so all of a sudden I was involved and was at a table with someone from Christ Church Raleigh and someone from St. Titus Durham and someone from St. Andrews Greensboro, and I had a blast. I had a good time. The reason I bring this up, though, is to actually talk about that feeling of being stuck at the door. Because I really kind of felt pulled in two different directions. And I want us to think about it perhaps as a reflection on how we sometimes get stuck in the life of faith. If we could imagine a room, if we could take the story from the gospel today and imagine that we're at a doorway looking into a room where Jesus has appeared to us. We feel drawn in. We want to be a part of it. We want to be drawn deeper into the life of faith. But many of us, maybe most of us, also feel a pull backwards. There's something outside those doors, something outside that house. Perhaps it's worry about something. Perhaps it's an ambition in this world of ours. Perhaps it's any number of things that pull us back from the brink, that pull us away from this deeper life in Christ. And what happens is we get there, and it's kind of like how I felt at the doorway at Stop Hunger Now, is if you're there and you're stuck because you have these two gravitational pulls, one to go deeper into the life of God, but the other is backwards. And of course, even as we stand there at that threshold and we think about journeying deeper, we know that we'd be surrendering a whole lot of ourselves. It's hard to let go of that pull of the world. And so I think there's a lot of things that keep us a little bit reluctant to going deeper, a little bit reluctant to go into that room where we experience Jesus, where we experience that holy community. We, even as faithful people, can get stuck at the door. Well, our gospel today gives us the story of Thomas. And Thomas really helps me to understand what it means to be stuck. I think actually all the disciples get stuck in their journeys with Jesus. I think that their stories, as we look at all the gospels, oftentimes the story of the disciples are about these people who come, are of the world, and they feel called to journey more deeply into the life that Jesus offers them. Until at the very end where we see them gathered together in this house, believing what Jesus is telling them. But along the way, I think they get pulled in different directions. I think they feel the pull of the world, and they feel the pull of what Jesus is offering, and they get stuck. And the way that I think this is, the reason I think this is what happens is because the gospel often seems to be the story of the disciples saying confused, incoherent, and sometimes dumb things. Because when we're pulled in so many different directions, we become confused. We don't know quite what to do with ourselves. We don't know, do we go back to where the world draws us, or do we go deeper? Well, let's bring Thomas in. Let's put Thomas right at the door of this house where something very sacred is happening, where Jesus is there with his friends. But Thomas, of all the 12, seems to be the most unwilling to allow himself to be released from the pull of the world. Thomas is the least willing to just fall into the room and into the spirit of the place because he demands something. He demands proof. If Thomas is to believe the resurrection happened, if he's going to believe that Jesus is standing before him and is who he says he is, then it has to be according to the standards of the world that Thomas already knows. He needs to see it. He needs to feel it. He needs that proof. And it's that need to have that hard evidence that pulls him back, keeps him from journeying all the way into the center. Thomas is really stuck. Stuck at that door. Of course, what Thomas asks for doesn't seem to be too much to ask, I don't think. He's asking for proof. Just a week before, the disciples were able to see little pieces of proof. Jesus was able to show them his hands. Unfortunately, poor Thomas simply was the wrong person in the wrong place. He wasn't there at the time. And so when they went out to tell him what they had seen, he had a hard time with it. And that was when he said, I need to see it. I need proof. Well, the problem with proof is that in the long run, it can be a limiting thing in our journey of faith. Proof, I think of it as being like training wheels, as being something maybe we need at certain times in our lives. But the idea is to get you started so that you can then ride for real and really experience something joyful. And yes, there are times in our lives where we need something tangible to hold on to. But anything we hold on to is also something that we can become a little bit stuck to. And anything we can hold on to can be something that we can hold so tightly that we become closed off. Our lives become a locked house like the ones that the apostles were in before they encountered Jesus. Well, I think Jesus knew Thomas very well. I think Jesus knew Thomas well enough to give him what he was asking for, almost. Thomas comes into the house with a clear sense of what he needs. He needs to see this, he needs to touch it, or he's not going to believe. And that's why he's stuck. He goes into this house carrying something, holding on to that need. And that's the very thing that's pulling him backwards. But Jesus and the disciples are also pulling him in, inviting him in, loving him. And so there Thomas is, stuck until he finally lays eyes on Jesus. And yes, he does see the wounds, but I think it's that he finally sees Jesus in person, and that connection, that relationship becomes real again. And so Thomas finally lets go. He lets go of this need for more proof. He lets go of the demands of the world beyond the door and beyond the house. He lets go of those things that were pulling him backwards. And he simply falls into the spirit of the room. And suddenly, he's just there. There at the center. There with Jesus and with the disciples. My Lord and my God, he says. He is simply there. Blessed, Jesus says. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Blessed are those whose faith has taken flight. Blessed are those who have come into the room simply to be with Jesus. Blessed are those who are stuck at the door no longer. Amen.